So join me as we explore science-backed techniques and personal stories that I've gone through to navigate moments of heightened stress and uncertainty.
Hey, I'm Lara, an artist, educator, and entrepreneur who's danced through life in Australia, London, and California. Now I'm an Aussie in Atlanta, Georgia, USA. Juggling roles as an artist, ex-dancer, current actor, author, professional educator, and qualified life coach, I'm also a wife and mother of two. Join me on this podcast crafted for creative souls at every level, entrepreneurs, artists, dreamers, and hope-filled humans alike. I'm here to guide you towards a life of love, purpose, adventure, and boundless creativity. As a healthy, wealthy, and wise creative soul, I invite you to hit subscribe for weekly inspiration. Anticipate solo episodes, exclusive interviews with creative luminaries, and insightful discussions with my hottie hubby, Andrew, a specialist performance physical therapist, as we delve into the dynamics of relationships and more. Dive into a 360-degree view of making a creative life you'll love.
Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of Healthy, Wealthy, Wise Artist. I'm Lara, your host, and in this episode, we're on a journey to conquer our nerves and anxiety. So join me as we explore science-backed techniques and personal stories that I've gone through to navigate moments of heightened stress and uncertainty. So picture this. I'm standing amidst the bustling atmosphere of London's West End, like the Broadway of London, I like to say, for the Americans, you know, preparing for this huge audition. It was for Wicked the Musical, and my heart is racing with anticipation and nerves, and the air is cracking with this energy of all the other girls there going for the same role. Voices are reverberating in the kind of concrete halls in London. And in that moment, my nerves escalated for what felt like unmanageable anxiety, just threatening to overwhelm me. The pressure to perform amidst all that talent just felt enormous. And on top of that, when you're going for an audition, you've got people that are there judging you at a table, and that adds so much weight to these sorts of moments. It felt immense, and my self-doubt started to creep in. Can I do this? Particularly with my heart racing, and it felt like my breath being taken away. But I was able to draw upon my inner strength and get through that audition. I remember taking deep breaths and summoning the courage to just step forward into that room. These moments are very pivotal, and they're a test of our resilience in the face of anxiety, severe nervousness, and a journey towards learning how to master our anxiety, whether it be social anxiety, performance anxiety, extreme nerves. And I know there's a difference, and we'll go into that. But discovering science-backed techniques have been really helpful for me in moving forward in navigating all of this. Now, for me, both of these feelings of anxiety or extreme nerves, they do feel similar in my body, but there are differences between, and that's important because I know some people struggle and suffer with long-term anxiety, where nerves tend to be a moment. So let's break it down. One of my most vivid memories of anxiety was during a really turbulent flight to Australia. It felt like anxiety going into panic. Now, it's again not a long-term anxiety, but a moment where I knew this is not about nerves. This is anxiety. I am scared for my life, and I was on the verge of panicking if I hadn't learned how to calm myself down. And I was really overwhelmed as that plane rocked and dropped violently. Not the normal kind of turbulence, but so much more. And I was desperate for reassurance. And it's funny what happens in these moments where these shared experiences and shared fear really can cause us to reach out to strangers in ways that we wouldn't normally. And I reached out for the stranger beside me and found this peace in our shared fear in that moment and our shared vulnerability. And this experience really taught me that the power of self-talk, deep breathing, and human connection in managing anxiety is really, really vital. So that's a really great example of when I had extreme anxiety, but nerves naturally respond and come up for me with unfamiliar or challenging situations, and they manifest as temporary
apprehension or unease, where anxiety, however, transcends just nerves, representing a persuasive sort of emotional state characterized by maybe more excessive worry and fear. And like I said, some people have social anxiety, some people have this persistent low-level anxiety all the time, some people really struggle to even leave their house. We're not talking necessarily in this episode about the extreme ones, where I advise that if you're listening, you seek medical help. We're just talking about the everyday anxiety, the everyday sort of experiences that can come from, be it flights, not that it's an everyday experience, but be it something like a flight or an audition or something where we get an abnormal amount of anxiety and fear because of something that we're doing or something that we're experiencing or going through. By understanding the differences, that one is a temporary response to an unknown or an unfamiliar or a challenging situation, or the other one is basically an anxiety that can come up when we're worried or fearful about something, it can really help us to understand the science-backed techniques to navigate these things, because I think some of these techniques are the same to navigate for both. Being a performer, the level of anxiety that I've experienced putting myself out onto risky situations and up for judgment, that level of nervousness is really, really huge. It's not like your normal level of nervousness. It's risky. It's scary. And fear steps in, and definitely the self-doubt and the underneath the anxiety of just, am I enough? Those kind of questions come up for me and many, many other artists as they put themselves out there and take risk. So what are some of the ways that we can cope? Empowering coping strategies. Well, here are some science-based ones. And the first one is something that's really helped me in understanding how my brain functions, and anybody for that matter. And it's the interplay between the primal, like I call it the lower and upper brain, and how it provides just understanding this and, you know, a foundation for managing our anxiety, because both parts of our brain, simply put, upper and lower, are working to protect us and can help us to get rid of anxious thoughts when we recognize what's going on. So I learned this because I was learning parenting from Whole Brain Child, which is a fantastic book that talks about the upper and lower brain in terms of children and development and parenting. And it really came from this place of when your child's having a meltdown or a tantrum, is understanding they're in that lower brain, that primal part of the brain, that reactive part. And in that place, they're in this fight, flight, freeze form, that sort of behavior. It's not the time to reason with them or to try and teach them a lesson, because they need to be calmed, they need to calm down and get into the higher brain in order to be receptive and receive the lesson. And it's exactly the same with us as adults. So when you're feeling extreme nerves or anxiety and you're in that lower brain, that reactive part, it's understanding this is where I am. My reasoning might not be in right now. It might not be operating at its full potential. So it's learning how to calm down. And what I've done is say, thank you, brain. You're just trying to keep me safe. Thank you, brain, for these feelings and these emotions and this risky thing, because you are ultimately trying to say, hey, there's a threat. Keep yourself safe, Laura. And in doing that and recognizing it, I'm able to talk to, almost like talk to my lower brain and get it to calm down. And obviously I'm doing that through my upper brain. I hope that makes sense, but it's something that's really helpful. It's just for me to say, hey, thank you. You're just trying to keep me safe, but you can calm down now. Which leads me into point two, which is self-talk or self-kindness. The opposite of self-kindness is self-judgment, and learning how to, or self, being critical of self. You've got to learn to encourage yourself, positively talk to yourself. Just as I was, hey brain, thank you, but you can calm down now. Because it's a really powerful ally against your anxiety and when you're feeling nerves. Speaking affirmations aloud, hey, you're safe. Hey, you can do this. Hey, what are you afraid of right now? You've got this. You've done it before. You can do it again. You're going to be fine. You're safe. That kind of stuff can really soothe that restless whisper of fear and provide a sense of reassurance for you. Don't let your brain just take off in this kind of undisciplined thought life that you are not tuning into and not aware of. And that kind of mindfulness, what that does is that when you're being mindful, you're thinking, hey, I've got these emotions, I acknowledge them, but I'm not going to let them take over my life, because in doing so, they're hijacking what I really want for my life right now. Now, this goes into my third strategy, science-based, is deep breathing. So important, because utilizing deep breathing techniques can reduce your anxiety, because it actually activates your body's relaxation response. And it says, hey, brain, I'm safe. Coupled with the talking, coupled with breathing, recognizing how your brain works, all very, very helpful in calming yourself down. So by taking these slow, deep breaths, individuals can regulate their own nervous system and help lift those feelings of stress and tension. And I've got a client that I life coach who likes to breathe in like on a chosen mantra. I love this. And then her out breath is another mantra. For example, breathing in, I am safe. Breathing out, I am calm. In your mind, I am safe, I am calm. Or whatever it is for you that would be a calming mantra, just adds something into your deep breathing. So beautiful, so powerful, so effective. The next one, science-backed, is actually spending time outdoors. This is not about exercise for this one, although it can be coupled with that. I'll talk about that later. But stepping outside, regardless of the weather, can offer a really simple yet effective coping mechanism. So engaging in a calming walk amidst nature, maybe speaking kindly to yourself as you go, hey, what is it that you really need right now? What is it that you want? What is it that you're worried about? It can really provide solace and a break from the suffocating grip of anxiety. Now, obviously, this one might not be useful right before you go on stage or put out your exhibition or whatever, or launch some creative project. But, you know, apply it where it fits for you, whatever day of the week, context, time of the year that it fits for you personally. I've got another client who does something really cool with this one. She said, hey, when I'm doing that, I look for a leaf or a flower or some sort of plant. And I take the time to study its design, its intricacies, intentionally just looking at it, just noticing it, because it distracts her brain from wherever it's kind of fight, flight, fawn, freeze going or faint, and brings her back into her present, back into her own shoes, so to speak, her mind back into the here and now, and helps calm her worry. So I think that's a really beautiful one as well. Number five is actually moments of stillness through meditation. Don't get put off, because most people freak when they go meditation, sitting there trying to do nothing, think of nothing. That's not necessarily what meditation is, but practicing stillness through meditation can be really transformative. One of the best ways that I've enjoyed doing this in my life is in nature. So again, coupling this with the one before, I remember sitting on this big rock that was sort of embedded into the shore of the ocean in my hometown. And I loved sitting there because there was the sound of the ocean, the sound of the breeze. It was very calming, very, very reassuring. And I would sit there, and for me, I would pray and just allow myself to be in that moment. It was very meditative. It was very calming, really calming of any chaos. And I'd always go away feeling more ready, more transformed, carving out this time for quiet reflection or doing a guided meditation, like using an app. There's so many of them now, can really ground your mind in the present moment. Recently, I created a journal, and I did it as a life coach, but also as an artist. And it was about pairing those two areas of my life together in order to create a meditation sort of experience that creative minds or big dreamers can sit down and do in the morning. And in the show notes, I've actually put a link. You can get it on Amazon, the Creative Purpose Journal. And it's a really lovely way to tune into your thoughts, meditate. I suggest doing the journal each morning with lovely instrumental music. There's some great playlists on Spotify and whatever a platform, like music for journaling, that kind of thing. And it's a way to just tune into your thoughts, check in with yourself, and become more aware of what's going on for you, as well as shifting into goals, shifting into what do I really want today, and taking the reins of your life and your story. So again, just another great way to start to
put meditation and calm and stillness into your day. Another really great science-backed approach. Head to the blog, head to the show notes to grab that. Now, the other thing, number six, is seeking support. And actually, being able to not isolate is really important because part of having hope in our lives, one of the three elements, and I think a lot of people don't even know what hope is or how to hope, but one of the elements is being able to recognize that we share humanity, that we suffer this side of heaven, I like to put it that way, that everybody's going through hard times, everybody goes through pain. And the opposite of recognizing our shared humanity is isolating. And it's important when you're going through anxiety and things not to do that, not to allow yourself to isolate, which can lead to hopelessness and depression, but to recognize that you're not the only one suffering and seek support from a loved one. Or if there is really nobody that you feel you can talk to, there are helplines, but it's crucial because reaching out reminds individuals that they're not alone. You know, when you're struggling, it fosters a sense of connection and solidarity with other people. Recognizing, like I said, part of hope is recognizing you're not alone, that other people are going through hard times. That friend that maybe hasn't called you for a month, maybe it's because they're going through a hard time. Maybe it's not a rejection of who you are. So recognize and reach out and get the help you need. Okay, number seven, science-backed, one of the ones that you probably know already is physical activity. Different to just going outside because this one can be done inside at a gym as well, of course, or you can couple it with some of the other ones like being in nature. But incorporating physical activity into your daily routine can be really instrumental in managing anxiety. Engaging in activities, whether it's Pilates or jogging or hitting the gym. You can pair it with reaching out to a friend or, you know, a catch-up time, doing a walk together, having a coffee walk or something. It releases endorphins, offering that respite from, you know, that relentless onslaught of anxiety and worry that you can get while you're trying to navigate human experience, the human life. I want to share another story of incredible, overwhelming anxiety for me that nearly turned into full-blown panic if I had not known how to calm my own nervous system. But I was going into an MRI machine for a brain scan. It turned out to be fine. Everything was fine. It was just precautionary. But they actually had to clamp my head down. Makes me squeezy talking about it. And you go into this narrow cylinder of a machine, and my head had to be held still, and it felt very like I was trapped. Of course, I was able to call out to them or raise my hand, but I remember my nervous system just started to freak out. Waves of anxiety happen, and I started to feel like I will go into a panic if I don't calm myself down because I feel really trapped. And it was really loud in there. It was like loud noises and just a tiny little space. And I don't struggle with claustrophobia or long-term anxiety or anything like that, but this moment just... You know, sometimes things are not rational. Fear and anxiety things. I was telling my child yesterday, my daughter is really scared of bugs and sometimes she doesn't want to go outside because of ants or spiders or whatever. And he's like, it's so silly, my son said about my daughter. And I'm like, but I said, fear's not rational. It doesn't make sense. It's like when you watch something on television, suddenly you don't want the walk-in robe open because something might be in there, I said to him, because it's not rational. You know there's nothing there, but you still feel afraid. And it's important to remember that. So even though I knew I was safe, this MRI made me very, very nervous. But I took deep breaths, closed my eyes, allowed the sound that was really overwhelming to become more like a heartbeat, just sort of switching it in my mind. And getting my self-talk going, I was breathing deep and saying, you're safe, you're okay. This is, thank you, brain. You can calm down now. This threat that you're perceiving, it's not real. You're safe, on repeat, repeat, repeat. And we are able in these experiences to regulate ourselves and calm down our nervous system. Another thing I do with my daughter, but it's useful for adults too, is I put a hand over my chest and I get her to put one over her collarbone chest area and just to imagine a calming color
going through her hand and filling her up from her toes all the way to the top of her head. This is when she's scared of the dark, and she picks the color that's calming, and we just allow the breath to actually have like an imagined sort of color, so that she can actually really do deep breathing and focus her brain on something else. And it's again a really beautiful way to calm down the nervous system while saying, hey, I'm safe. And I wrote her a little book of affirmation saying, I'm safe, I have my family, that she says before bed at night. So things that you can do that are helpful for you as well. So whether you're experiencing short-term nerves because something's coming up that's big for you as an artist or a creative entrepreneur, or you're enduring persistent anxiety, I hope that you discover some of these tools as just effective coping mechanisms. I didn't make them up. They're science-backed. But also remember, seeking professional guidance when you need it to complement these tips is important too, because I'm aware that anxiety is a scale. For some, it might be low laying. For some, it might be very chronic. So don't let this take you away from being able to seek the help you need. Let this complement that if that's for you. With empathy and understanding that we can share this human experience together, we have this opportunity to navigate anxiety's challenges and progress towards like an emotional resilience and inner tranquility. And resilience is the belief that I have what it takes to move forward. It's the understanding that I can sit in discomfort and that I can believe that I've got what it takes to move forward. And it's like when you're, you know, a client said it the other day when I asked her, what's resilience, what's hope for you? She said, it's like when you're in the bottom of a big hole, you can either sit there and do nothing, or you can look up at the light and say, I can get out. I can climb out. I will find a way. Okay, friends. So before we conclude, I invite you to leave a review about this podcast. If you found it helpful and you're still listening, I'd love you to leave a review, because your feedback helps us to reach more listeners and create content that really resonates with what you need. A lot of what I create comes from my clients and comes from DMs that people send me with questions. You're always welcome to do the same. Head to Lara Bianca Pilcher on whatever social media platform. That's also my website. And if you're seeking personalized support to manage your anxiety, I wish you all the best, because I really want the best for you. Now, another way that I can help you is through life coaching. It's a great time to do that. Head to larabiancapilcher.com to book a session with me, and we can journey together. Always remember, I am with you on the journey, friends. Bye for now. Phew, today's masterclass is done. I love reaching back and saying I've done this and helping you learn the easy way. If you want more, head to larabiancapilcher.com for show notes, links, freebies, my blog, coaching and courses, and you can also head to my socials, Lara Bianca Pilcher on Instagram and Facebook. I'm also on Twitter and Pinterest. Thanks again for listening. Please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. That would mean the world to me. And of course, keep on living the healthy, wealthy, wise artist living towards your dream life. Bye, friends. P.S. Shout out to my hottie hubby, Andrew Pilcher, who does all the editing on this podcast.